AT&T Mobile.
KFW Mobile. Good morning.
Doing.
Have the plane and yourself. It's finally Friday.
Happy Friday, and I'm all too happy about that.
On the news this morning, you got a little bit of slowdown at Pelham Road, but that ain't nothing unusual.
Worse these days. They've got all that construction they're doing down there. So I think they have a lane closed overnight to do paving work, and then, you know, they're just pulling it up about now. So usually by the time I get down there, it's pretty much cleared out.
But for me yesterday, by the time I got there, it was done.
I left a little bit early this morning, so I'm already down here at the north end of Business 85. And I'm hoping to, you know, just get my stuff done today and pack it in early, maybe get out around lunchtime and head home.
How many get off early on a Friday?
All my people, it's like, hey guys, you know, if you can just finish your stuff today, you know, you're welcome to leave whenever you get done what you plan to get done today. So I usually have a pretty empty office by about 2 or 3 o'clock on Friday.
Not that.
And I love you, I have flexibility, but, you know, just letting everybody out early on Friday, you know, it just seems like a good thing to do.
People don't take advantage of you.
Our group, if you're not getting your work done, it shows pretty quickly. So, yeah, most of my guys are good, and, you know, they get their stuff done. So I've never had to call anybody out on not getting anything done. So that's fortunate for me as a manager.
Crew, right? Anybody can work without, you know, direction or people looking over them.
Just, you know, they're more of a task rabbit, and, you know, every company needs folks like that. You know, they just want to come in and, you know, get told what to do and do their job and go home, and that's fine. But I don't really have anybody on my team that is like that. They're pretty much motivated and driven people that they know what to do without much intervention. So it makes my job easier.
KN4 GFW, and I had to navigate getting on the way to him.
No fun over there.
It's just worse and worse every day, but there's not much you can do about it. You can't afford to move.
We were talking about that last night, you know, because right now we have a pretty nice spread, and we're in a really good area, and we have no traffic, and we like our houses and everything, but, you know, we're just thinking of what our next step is. I mean, like, moving is just daunting. You know, we're maybe thinking about looking for a place more out in the country. And we start looking around, and, you know, we're kind of in the best spot right now, which is, you know, we're thankful for, because then we don't need to move. But when it comes time to want to move, it's just going to be a daunting task and a whole ton of money.
You know, if I moved and then end up owing the same amount that I owe right now, I think the payments are going to be twice what they are.
Interest rate on your house right now, like, it will definitely...
Right before they went up, so it's like 3 or 2 point something or 3, something like that.
When I moved from Seneca to Shelby, because I had 2.75 on my house in Seneca, and, you know, I moved up to Shelby after they had started going up, so I got, like, 6.25 on my house now, and, you know, it's a more expensive house, so I'm feeling the pain of going from a 2.75 mortgage to a 6.25, and I'm really hoping that the interest rates will come back down sometime in the next couple of years so I can refi that thing.
On that, yeah, we refinanced, I don't know, well, we did cash out, but, you know, originally when I bought it, I think we were at 7-something, but, you know, the houses now cost 2 or 3 times what they did back then.
My house in Seneca, I bought it in 2013, and when I sold it in 2022, I got just exactly twice what I paid for it, and I really didn't do much to it over those 10 years. It was kind of shocking, and it wasn't hard to do it. Like, I had an offer the first day I had it on the market.
If I put my house up for sale, it'd probably sell in a day or two, and then I'd be, you know, out of a house and looking for something else, and then you end up settling.
Inventory. right now, WTJKT. Yeah, there's no inventory because, you know, nobody wants to sell if they've got a low interest rate, or people are upside down because, you know, the value of the stock's going up so fast. So you've got folks that are upside down, or they don't want to get out of their low-rate mortgage. And, you know, you've got buyers are having a hard time, too, because you can't afford to sell your house for a good price right now because you owe on it. And then, you know, the buyers, they've got such a high interest rate. I think they're like 8% now that they can't afford the payment. So the housing market's kind of stuck right now.
KN4GFW.
Good this weekend?
Not too much we're doing other than on Father's Day. We're going to go put up a flag over there at her father's house. And then that's about it, I think.
Getting a day outside with the kids on Saturday. We've got nothing. We've got no other commitments on Saturday, which is rare. So we're going to have a cookout with the kids and play games outside. We have a nice little outdoor patio that's got an awning over it, so it's in the shade. You know, it's supposed to be stupid hot this weekend, but you know, we'll be outside playing games, watching TV. You know, we have a little TV out there and the grill, and I'll make some burgers and stuff. But I don't know if the kids are going to, you know, wish me a Father's Day. I don't know. I've been in the family here for a couple of years now, so I'm interested to see if they'll wish me a happy Father's Day. That would be kind of touching to realize that, you know, they're starting to think of me that way.
And I know the feeling. I've helped raise four step kids.
Before they started to look at you that way?
Maybe a couple of years. That, you know, the daughter came around pretty quick. The son, he doesn't say dad, but, you know, I know he thinks of him that way. And then my oldest, as far as, because I raised him since he was five, he's 48 now. You know what I mean? All practical purposes, on his dad.
Younger one, Finn, you know, he's said dad to me a couple of times. And his older brother has really gotten on his case for that. His older brother is going to be a while, I think, a little bit more resistant to the idea because, you know, he's already 15. But the younger one, he has said dad a couple times, but just I think it's been more of a slip than anything else. But I guess we'll see. You know, nobody has said anything in the house about Father's Day this weekend yet, so maybe they're just not thinking of it, but we'll see.
Do you have any children of your own? I only have one of my own, KN4 GFW, and that's the only one that we don't GNR.
Yeah, my first marriage did not produce any children, and then, you know, by the time I met Courtney, you know, I was 46, 47, and we talked about it, and I've never really had a burning desire to have kids of my own. And, you know, at 47, you know, we didn't want to have any more. You know, Courtney was completely done having kids. You know, she'd already had two. So I went ahead and got the SNP, you know, after we got together and we realized, you know, we're going to be together for a while. So, you know, no kids for me, and I'm totally fine with that.
That's how my oldest son is. He just don't want any kids. And then he likes mostly being off by himself.
Marriage ended in 2014. You know, I was totally cool being by myself, and it was like that for, you know, 7 years before I met Courtney. So, you know, then I just met her, and everything changed in an instant. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. you just know it when it happens, but I never expected it to, and I certainly wasn't looking for it to. But it's going to happen. So, you know, here we are.
It's been as a Mercedes in the left lane, and that, and they got it all lowered about an inch from the ground. It looks really stupid.
Road, I guess. I guess it doesn't put me out unless they're driving like a moron.
It'd be as safe as it was originally designed.
Okay. Are these Amazon headlights that everybody's getting? I got a guy behind me that's just absolutely beaming me right now because, you know, they don't have any kind of, you know, beam shaping or anything on those. They're just these stupid bright LEDs, and they're really obnoxious, but that's, you know, more of an irritation to me than cars that are, you know, done up to look stupid.
Right about that. They're just because it's really super bright. For some reason, we didn't need them that bright back then in our days.
And that, you know, they're super bright, but they're not super bright in the right direction. They just kind of throw light everywhere, so you can't even really see well with them, even though you're blinding everybody on the road.
And these headlights and this thing seem to work pretty good.
Like these projector LED headlights, and when I turn on the bright, the high beams, I can probably see a mile down the road if it's a straight road. I mean, it's pretty incredible how much it lights up stuff at night. And then the low beams, they're very, very well behaved, so I like those a lot. It's an off day for Patrick, but you usually hear some other folks on Fridays.
A little bit early for Jody. And then, Andrew may have went in early.
Same thing, if he goes in a little early and just punch out a little early in the afternoon.
Tries to. And then Shane should be in here. I guess Shane's coming back from Atlanta. He should be in here.
Sometime soon, I'm buying a radio off of him, and I need to meet him for lunch sometime in the next couple weeks so I can pick that up from him.
He works down there, kind of like where you are.
Old building down on Harriman Dairy Road. He sits in my old cube or something.
Old 11-meter radios I really need to get worked on. The time I ran it, it's been, you know, 8 or 10 years. It was like, it didn't transmit, or it didn't transmit anything audible. You know, people could tell that somebody was trying to transmit, but nothing came out. It received okay, but not sure exactly what was wrong with it. It's an old Connex 3300.
Probably putting out a carrier, but it just wasn't getting modulated, you know, because the CBs are AM, at least the older ones are. I think they have some sideband CBs now, but the older ones are AM. So it sounds like you had a carrier going out, but just with no modulation. So if you have a schematic for it, I'd be happy to look at it for you. Probably just need to trace out the audio signal from the mic through the modulator and see if the modulator is putting anything out.
It's capable of receiving, that thing's got like 500, you know, channels on it, but they're all, like you said, AM or straight FM. There's nothing single sideband.
Kind of work. Yeah, model number. I might see if I can find a schematic for it, see if I can just kind of figure out where the problem is, and, you know, it's probably something stupid like a capacitor or something like that, you know, because those things dry out. Especially if it's an older radio, they have those old paper capacitors in them, and they dry out after about 10 years, and then they just become useless. So most audio chains in a radio have series capacitors for coupling to remove DC bias. And if they use, capacitors in that position that can dry out, it would eventually, you know, prevent the audio from going through.
Bought this one in the late 90s, so it's probably at least 25 years old.
Schematic on it and see. It might be something really simple.
And I'll have to look at... I know it's a Connex 3300. Just not sure if there's any other letters or anything after that.
On it, just show me a picture of the label. That should have plenty of information on it for me. Radios lately out of necessity, because a lot of my the equipment in the ham shack has been having, you know, failures lately. I had to fix one of my signal links last weekend. The USB audio chip in it got a short in it somehow, so it would, you know, I'd just plug it in and it would take, you know, full current from the USB port, and then, you know, that chip would get super hot. So I had to order a new one to replace that, and I had to fix both of my TS-590s that had resistors burn up in them. So that was fun, but I'm having to get into all this stuff just out of necessity lately.
Unfortunately, you know, electronics isn't something that I do, and it's, you know, I don't really have a huge interest in it. And the radio worked good, you know what I mean? When I got it, it worked good for years. than that. I mean, it'll do 50 watts on high.
50?
Negative, just 50. Nice just to have an 11 meter just to listen to the traffic, but a lot of drivers don't even use it anymore.
I don't see as many CB antennas on trucks as I used to, that's for sure.
The ones that come into work, they have them on the back of the cabs. And then the ones that have antennas on them, they don't even have a radio in the truck.
Cell phones and internet, it certainly seems to be a dying hobby, doesn't it?
That's why there's so many darn truck wrecks out there, you know, and big collisions, because nobody's paying attention and nobody's listening anymore.
Driving southbound on 85 yesterday morning on my way in, she was like, you know, all over the place on speed, like, you know, speed limit, 5 over, 10 under, back and forth. And so I finally got frustrated and tried to get around her. I look up and she's got her phone in her face. And, you know, just not even paying attention to anything.
Yesterday was wiggling back and forth and coming over in my lane and just trying to mess with the radio or with the telephone. And unfortunately, he's coming up behind me.
Our 14-year-old got to drive a car for the first time last week. And that's a little terrifying. His dad took him over to a parking lot and let him drive his car around the parking lot a little bit. He'll be 15 in March of next year. He'll be able to get his learner's permit, so that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Sitting where my parents sat when I was learning how to drive, scaring the crap out of them.
And according to some of the statistics, this is the worst place to drive. Is upstate South Carolina, and I know it's definitely a lot worse than it was when I was learning.
Likely not much better in western North Carolina, where we live. It's, it's pretty nuts, and, people are just very inattentive, but we'll teach him how to drive. He does not have a cell phone. We tried to give him a cell phone, and he got into trouble with it, like, within a couple of weeks, so we took it away from him, so he won't have a cell phone, at least. So he'll have to, he'll have no other task than to drive the car, and, the Chevy Bolt I've got, it has a teen driver mode, so you can limit the speed, you can limit the acceleration, you can limit the function, it limits the functions of the car so he can't get into, get distracted by menus and stuff, because those things are disabled. So hopefully that'll be all right.
Cool. We just had the old push-button radios and the little knob, and you didn't really even have to look at it to change anything, and the only distraction we ever had is you either lighting a cigarette or drinking a Coke, right?
Good old days, not having to take your eyes off the road, and I really like that. I love the tactile interfaces that you don't have to look at, because you just know where the volume knob is, you know where the buttons are. And the panel in the Chevy here, it's just a touch screen, so you have to actually look at it so you touch it in the right place, because if you touch it in the wrong place, it does something you didn't want to do, and it's really irritating, but I've learned to use the buttons on the steering wheel more than the touch screen to navigate and do what I wanted to do, so at least there's that.
Definitely, when they put those big old screens there, and everything's touched on, it definitely takes your eyes off the road. You can't help but do it.
That, except there's always so much information on that screen that you have to parse through to get at what you're looking for. You look away for too long. And it's bad when your car has a warning tone that beeps at you when you look away from the steering wheel look away from forward for too long. I think this thing's got 3 or 4 cameras in the steering wheel that keep track of where your eyes are looking. And if I look away from the steering wheel for too long, it'll start flashing a light at me.
That one, I had to have the lane assist, or lane keeping or whatever you want to call it. And at first, every time you turned around, it was coming on, but now it forces you to learn how to stay in the middle of the lane. So it ain't too bad.
Going through the Interchange 51 static hole. Maybe I can hear now.
You know, I've been through that area a couple of times, and I haven't had the radio get real staticky on me or break the squelch.
And just north of the intersection, the interchange, there's about a half a mile there where I just can't hear a darn thing, and the static goes off the charts. And I'm not sure if it's one of those signs or a billboard or something, but usually it's something like that that's just throwing off a lot of hash, and for some reason it breaks my squelch, and it actually goes full bar on the receive strength meter, and it drowns everything out, so I can't hear the repeater at all through there.
Yes, when I passed electronic sign there north of Greer. But yesterday or day before going to work, I was almost to work, and then something kept breaking the squelch and messing it all up, and I never did figure out what it was because I never had no problem there before.
Arguments for having a tone on the repeater, but I know this one doesn't have one, but the Shelby Club, we just put a tone on ours because of, various interference sources around the area that kept on, opening everybody's squelch, so including QRM, so they put a tone on it to kind of try to help with that.
Silence had several trucks around me trying to figure out what everybody was going to do.
Safety first, always. Experiment this morning. I've been kind of camping behind this tractor trailer for the entire trip down since about the construction zone. It's going about 60 miles an hour, and I've got the air conditioner and the heat going to get the humidity down in here, and I'm still getting 4 miles per kilowatt hour, which is pretty darn good. And if I had the heat off, I'm sure I'd be getting more like 4.5, but just trying to see about a little hypermiling in my Bolt here, and it's doing pretty darn good.
Yeah, I got mine locked in at 63. And that just staying in the right lane, minding my own business. It seems like it wants to settle out at 44.5 miles per gallon.
50 on it?
On this one yet. And then I think if I could get, like, someplace that was flat and the speed wasn't too high, I should be able to get there.
Really, really well around, 35 to 45 miles an hour. I can get 5.5-6 miles per kilowatt hour if I just kind of keep it, down there. So, driving through all the backcountry roads around Shelby, I actually get really, really good economy on this thing.
Even Wade Hampton, it does pretty good. I can fill up. I didn't drive from Greer over to the interstate, and it'll be saying averaging 60-something miles per gallon, but then as soon as you jump on the interstate and stuff like that, it kind of messes it up. Not the most aerodynamic vehicle.
Somebody, I think I read on the internet somewhere that the Chevy Bolt will, I think it's like 22 miles an hour where it gets peak efficiency, bang for your buck. And I think somebody was able to get like 400 miles on a battery charge at that speed. So, parking it on the flat roads, out west somewhere going 22 miles an hour all day. I can't imagine, doing that experiment. But, they got like 400 miles out of it.
Like it's in battery mode right now. I'm doing 54, but it won't stay in battery mode long. It's straight battery mode. I'd be doing good if I get a mile or two down the highway.
That is a hybrid or is it a plug-in hybrid?
Hybrid. It's no plug-in.
Battery range is only a couple of miles.
Straight battery.
Hybrid probably has like I think 20 to 30 miles of range on a battery, and then the straight hybrids only use it for acceleration and stuff like that.
Going up into this construction zone, they're like adding another 8 feet to the shoulder of the road. Any idea?
I'm trying to figure out what all that's going to look like when they're done with it.
KN4TFW.
It'll probably take the whole section back up to 70 miles an hour where it belongs.
I know, that's right. in the afternoon at the 80, and man, they don't give you much running room.
Back, they moved exit 96 on me, and I missed it. And I had to go all the way up to, like, exit 100 to get off, you know, because they moved it down the road. You know, they moved it south by, like, 3/4 of a mile from where it was. I didn't see the sign, so I'm like, oh, crap.
The other day when I was running up to Charlotte, it's like the exit was in the middle of nowhere, and then it just paralleled the highway for almost a mile.
Yep.
So that was the one you wanted.
Signage, but yeah, that first day there was no sign, there was no detour, there was no nothing. Just the ramp was there, and there was nothing to indicate that it was the exit. So I had to add a few miles to my commute that day.
Well, I'm turning on the road going down to the gate, so I'm gonna say 7-3. You have an awesome day and a safe weekend and a happy Father's Day, even if the kids don't say it. KN4TFW.
Thanks for the company this morning. I hope you also have a great day and an awesome Father's Day weekend. And we'll talk up with you next week. This is W2JKT. Up there.